Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Pete is in for GP because GP is ill. I don't mean the cool 90s rap way. I mean he's physically sick. He's got a sore throat.
You illin', son?
License to Ill, Beastie Boys, fantastical album. Beastie Boys are a hip-hop group of note. We do this every day at noon, folks. We spin you around the beltway. What's going on in the world of DC sports that you care about? I want to start these proceedings, Tommy, with the Redskins. My buddy Craig Hoffman joins us to talk some Redskins. Craig, we're about to talk about Trent Williams, Ron Rivera, and Dan Snyder. That kind of triumvirate here. There's some moving parts and moving pieces. The thing that specifically jumped out at me was John Kimes' note that Dan Snyder has kind of given the blessing to Ron Rivera to bring Trent Williams back into the fold. A, just kind of your thoughts of what's going to happen with Trent Williams. But B, it seems like Snyder's really involved in this Ron Rivera era in its infancy.
Well, I don't know that I'd agree with the last statement, simply because I think his involvement is, yes, Ron, do whatever you want, Ron. Ron, you're the best. Ron, great job. Like, that is from Trent to Dwayne Haskins, where he's like, all right, yeah, you don't have to be married to anybody here. Like, we're married to you. You make the calls. And so, yeah, I'm sure Ron is going to Dan on some stuff, and then I'm sure Dan is turning around. It sounds like, from everything that I've heard, Dan is turning around and going, yeah, Ron, whatever you want. And so when it comes to Trent, there was obviously some complications there and that there was some ill will towards the franchise. And a lot of that, you know, I would say 95%, 98%, 99% was towards Bruce Allen and Larry Hess and people that are now gone. But towards the end, when Dan tried to swoop back in and save things, and Trent felt pretty disrespected by that. Like, well, oh, now that you think I might not play for you, now you're interested? And it became, from what seemed like a good personal relationship, to Dan just trying to make business happen. And that was off-putting to Trent. So if they can put that behind them, which it sounds like Trent has because he would like to continue to play here, then, yeah, I think that this can happen. The question now becomes contractual. Will he just play based off of this deal, which I think he's open to now, just a year away from free agency, or does he require a new contract, which he would like, but I don't think is going to be hell-bent on getting. In other words, I don't think he's sitting out again if he doesn't get one.
Craig, you've had conversations with Jordan Reed. When the player is healthy, he was Washington's Gronk or Travis Kelce, performing at an extremely high level. The frustration level, what it must be now for him, having needed 6 months to get cleared from concussion protocol. And clearly, as every player, Craig, I think he certainly wants to give it a go one more time. What kind of dangers lie ahead in him doing that based on the fact that it took him so long to get cleared this time around?
Yeah, it's a great question, Pete, and one that I would only trust, you know, a medical expert to answer. The data on repeat concussions is out there, and that the data says it's bad. If you get multiple concussions, then there are long-term ramifications of that. But it's also, you know, the research is inconclusive in terms of, do you still have to be suffering from concussion A for concussion B to affect you? If you're fully healed, which you really hope after 6 months he is there more risk for another concussion or for some of those long-term issues in terms of depression and all the things that are symptomatic of CTE and what we know of CTE? So it is scary, and I think Jordan has taken a long time to consider all this, but he is extremely competitive, and he also knows how good he is when healthy, and he finally, back in training camp, felt and looked like himself again, and I think he wants to go out and prove that he is that good, that he's as good as George Kittle. He's as good as Travis Kelce. He's as good as all these dudes, Zach Ertz. And he might even be better than a lot of them. So the contract comes into play when you're talking about his time with the Redskins. But he whether it's here on some kind of different deal or somewhere else, I think is going to give it another go to prove that he belongs at the very top of the tight end discussion in the NFL.
Craig, the story we heard was that, or we saw, there was a Quentin Dunbar demanded a trade. Then Quentin Dunbar said, no, I didn't demand a trade, according to some people. Now, apparently, this is just across my desk, Drazen Anderson says, sources close to Quentin Dunbar tell me he had reached out to the team to discuss a reasonable contract restructure, but the club declined the conversation. Dunbar remains resolute in his desire to be released or traded. What do we know?
So my only interaction with Dunbar was on the night of the first report, and he had told me, you know, sometimes a change is good for everybody. And so that is what I heard straight from the horse's mouth. Obviously, things have changed since then, and he's probably had discussions with his agent, and they've reached out to the team, and yada, yada, yada. I think it's reasonable for him to want a new contract. I also think he happens to have a ton of leverage because they're screwed at corner without him. So it would be smart for him to say, I want to be somewhere else if you're not going to pay me, because he could get more money on the open market. Because he is really, really good. I don't know exactly how this is going to wind up playing out, though, because what if the Redskins just say, no, like, we're not releasing you? He's not Trent Williams. He hasn't made $100 million. He can't sit out. He can hold out. But at the end of the day, he's costing himself money that he probably is better off making and going out and playing and then, you know, being a free agent a year from now. So both sides have some leverage. If he's going to be a malcontent or hold out, that should scare the Redskins a little bit because of their corner situation. But at the end of the day, I don't think he's a guy that can sit out a ton of time and financially, not that he hasn't made a good amount of money that he could live off of or anything like that, but it's very different than Trent. Trent was a $100 million player. Quentin Dunbar's not. This is becoming a PR game, and we'll see who breaks first.
Thank you, Craig. You're in very good shape. I'll see you, buddy.
Try my best, Danny. Thank you.
There he goes. Let's talk some hockey, please, Tom. Samantha Pell covers the Washington Capitals for the Washington Post, and she joins us here on the Beltway Blitz.
Samantha, the storyline for a couple of weeks was chasing Ovi. Well, now as they get set to host Montreal tonight, storylines have changed. A new defenseman's in town. Ovi's still chasing 700, and the Penguins have moved ahead of the Capitals. What is the storyline heading into tonight's game with the Montreal Canadiens?
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, a bunch of storylines there, but I think definitely Brendan Dillon being inserted here on the top pair with John Carlson is the biggest of the night. Obviously, the Caps have struggled with team defense for the last couple of weeks now. They're 10-10 in their last 20. So, you know, Dillon is a huge body, a physical presence, and he's just going to bring another, you know, leader to this team that needs it right now.
What's going to turn this thing around? I mean, listen, they're still in a good place, the fourth best record overall, second best now in their division. If you told the Capitals fans before the season this is where they'll be, I think a lot of people would kind of take that. But what they've been since middle December, Samantha, isn't very good. What's it going to take to kickstart this thing? Is it as simple as just one new addition, maybe breathing some life into the locker room?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we have to see tonight, right? So Dillon will be in. They're actually making some other line changes. Brendan Leipzig will be a healthy scratch for the first time tonight, and Travis Boyd will be taking his place on the fourth line. That's been pretty consistent this year, but it's had its ups and downs like the rest of the team these last couple of weeks. You're going to get Evgeny Kuznetsov back in the lineup after missing three games. He had an upper body injury, so he'll be back. Maybe he'll provide a spark. I think the Caps right now are just trying to find the right pieces. Obviously, you know, 20-25 games left until the postseason. They need some type of spark, and they're just trying to find that team chemistry again that they found early in the season.
Samantha, coming up on Monday, it's the trade deadline. Is Brian McClellan done moving some pieces around here for the Capitals in your mind, or do you expect another deal between now and Monday?
You know, I think I would expect another deal between now and Monday. Obviously, McClellan has done very well at the trade deadline in the past. This is his sixth straight season that he's acquired a defenseman at the trade deadline, and I don't think he is done. He talked to reporters yesterday, and he kind of told us we're open to having more talks. We are talking to teams, so if something comes on the table and they like it, it would not surprise me whatsoever if they go ahead and make another move.
Samantha, the Pittsburgh Penguins are on fire. The only team they seem to lose to is Tampa Bay. Ultimately, in your mind, who wins this division, and does it even really matter?
You know, I think it does matter. It doesn't matter. I think it's really hard to tell right now. The Penguins are on fire. I mean, Sidney Crosby having another great night the other night. I think, you know, Pittsburgh is pretty much up there. If the Caps can pull it together, I think they can string off, you know, the next couple wins or so. They could be on top, but for now, Pittsburgh looks pretty, pretty good.
Samantha, thank you as always. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We will talk soon. There she goes. I want to bring on a person to talk about baseball, Tommy. Our buddy Sam Fortier covers the Nationals for the Washington Post.
Sam, it's been a circus down there so far, especially on the other side of the camp there at West Palm. Just a general observation on the first few days of camp for the Nationals as the world champions.
Yeah, it has been a pretty incredible first week, and they have been overshadowed by the Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal. And I think the subsequent lack of apology or lack of apparent genuine remorse from most players other than Carlos Correa. Obviously, the Nationals are doing their thing. Juan Soto showed up, said he's ready to go. Max Scherzer threw 42 pitches in his first bullpen. He felt great. But the main storyline out of West Palm Beach has certainly been the Astros.
Sam, Max said he felt some soreness, and this is normal. I mean, guys getting started, ramping up for spring training and then the regular season. But it brings up the fact that Max Scherzer has been slapping Father Time in the face here over these last couple of years, where he should be diminishing. He hasn't. Until last year, some of these injuries caught up with him. If he can't be Max Scherzer, then their gamble to let Anthony Rendon go and sort of rely on their big three horses in the starting rotation might blow up in their face a little bit. Any concern at all that age finally might catch up to Max Scherzer?
There has to be some concern for Max Scherzer, not just because of the age, but because of the way he was used last year, pitching deep into October. Every guy can say that, probably Patrick Corbin most of all, although he's just 30 years old. I think the thing with Max, though, is he said he felt shoulder soreness. That was, but he wanted that. He's very specific that fatigue is a thing that you do when you're ramping up. He says, there's a difference between fatigue, hurt, and injured. Those are kind of his three categories. And he said he feels right on point, right where he likes to be every spring. So as far as he's concerned, he's good to go and he'll be fine.
Sam, that's the top of the rotation. The back of the rotation has a very interesting battle. And we know what the relationship with the organization and how they feel about Joe Ross. They sent him out there in one of the biggest games in franchise history last year. But at the back end of that rotation, who survives in the back end? And what happens to the one guy that may not survive? Does that guy end up in a bullpen or does he end up at Fresno?
It's a great question because you have three candidates in Joe Ross, Eric Fetty, and Austin Voth. And if those three guys sound familiar, it's because the exact same three guys were competing for the spot last year. They are in a difficult position because Eric Fetty is the only one with options remaining. So Voth and Ross you have to keep them up or they would have to accept an assignment to the minors. So basically, I think what you're going to see is whoever doesn't win that battle, let's say it's not Fetty, if he doesn't win, you might see him in Fresno or Harrisburg. But I think that other guy, between Ross and Voth, could end up being the 26th man, being a long reliever, spot starter if you need be. I do think they do like Joe Ross, his second year coming off Tommy John. Guys who get Tommy John that second year is usually when you see them rebound and be the player you expect them to be. So I think Ross is the name to watch this spring for sure.
Sam, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate the time.
Thank you.
We'll see you, dude. There he goes. That's how we blitz. That's how we do it. You pick a topic and you debate it. That's how you do it. So we just had this come across the desk, Pete. We were going to talk some Jordan Reed. We will still get there, but Quentin Dunbar, according to Josina Anderson, has reaffirmed his trade request. What to do with Quentin Dunbar? 1218 next, my friend. I got an angle. It's actually Sam Fortier's angle, to be honest with you, and I'm stealing it. I'm like the guys in the town where they steal stuff. Right? That's kind of how I'm doing it. I'm stealing it.
Well, as a comedian, you would know about other comedians stealing stuff, correct?
Oh, yeah. Very familiar with that. Very, very familiar with that. That is a thing. Here's where we're going to go right now, though. We had some Trent Williams discussion. We'll still get to that this hour. But Quentin Dunbar. So remember how this whole thing went. I went back and looked it up. Remember, John Kime. Again, by the way, a lot of John Kime on this show today. Who's putting over John Kime more than old Randy Duhye here on the Fan? Guy does a great job. Getting mentioned a ton. Anyway, Kime gets a ditty from Dunbar. I want to be released or traded. Public outcry. Well, bye. Go away. Smell you later. Thanks, but no thanks. I can deal with another oft-injured player wanting a demand. And by the way, I understand he would like a new deal. I understand that. But released or traded is a different animal. Then, clarification from Dunbar's camp. The following day, Kime stands by his initial report, by the way. He doesn't make things up. That, no.
Wasn't me.
No, you guys misunderstand. No, it's not a release or trade. I just would, you know, like to a new deal. I'm going into the last year of a deal. I got no guaranteed money coming my way. If I'm hurt and I lose everything, and I'd like to be paid. I'm a pretty good corner when healthy, and I want to be here. No, you guys misunderstood.
He just put his big sticker on his chest and said, "Hello, my name is Quentin."
Yeah, and everybody sort of backed off a little bit. Well, now you got this from Josina Anderson, Mr. Anderson, 17 minutes ago. Sources close to Redskins cornerback Quentin Dunbar tell me that he had reached out to the team to discuss a reasonable contract restructure, but the club declined the conversation. Dunbar remains, not fluctuates, remains resolute in his desire to be released or traded. So at some point we had a, no, you guys, this is so out of proportion to not pretty much what I said the first time is what it is. So I ask you, Pete, your initial reaction. Quentin Dunbar, apparently, according to this latest from Josina Anderson, wants to be traded or released.
Dude, have some patience. You know, the new people just got here. They're just evaluating, you know, what's going on. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe the new people don't really think you are, you know, top 3, 4, 5 corner in the league. Maybe it's a sign of disrespect that maybe they haven't contacted you as much as you would like at this point to kind of tell you where you stand. But, you know, I think, as we often say, sometimes, you know, silence speaks volumes, and maybe the silence by the Redskins speaking volumes here to the player. I don't know. I mean, that'd be the only explanation I would have in this situation about Quentin Dunbar, who's, you know, this is really his only way to, you know, put himself out there that, you know, hey, I may be available. Teams, get ready. You know, maybe you should call the Redskins, maybe, and trade for me. That'd be great.
So
I want out.
When I railed against this the other day, when the first report comes out that he wants to be released or traded, here's how it sounded to me, kind of piggybacking off what you just said. Nobody's called me. I'm really important, and no one's called me yet.
Thank you.
The Redskins just got together, dude. Ron Rivera and all of his staff, like, met face-to-face for the first time February the 10th, mm-hmm. not that long ago. They're figuring out who's in and who is out. You may be one of those guys in either category. We don't know yet. But the idea that you didn't get reached out to because Trent Williams did and you want to be included in that same camp, I've got a cold, crisp dose of reality for you. Nice story. You haven't arrived yet. You haven't done way close to
it's
enough.
It's cool. You've made a few plays.
To get a phone call or even a text just yet, no, bro.
You've made a few plays.
Sit your turn.
We see you.
We'll figure this out once we're done evaluating. Because here's what happened. This is my read on it. He was working on an extension with the old guard. That was reported, right? So Eric Schaefer and company were trying to get something done. Schaefer's gone. Rivera says, let's put a hold on that. We're just going to hold on that. Hold. We'll figure this out in a second. He gets butt hurt. Didn't get his phone call. Didn't get his, you're our man, buddy. We believe in you. That he somehow needs to stroke his fragile ego and then makes this demand, sees the public outcry, has someone help him walk it back, and now is reaffirming it when he hasn't gotten anywhere. According to his camp, he was rebuffed when he said, hey, let's do a contract extension. I don't know if the Redskins are never planning on doing it. What I also don't know if they're going to say it's not our policy to do that. I don't know what the deal is, because the Redskins haven't commented, haven't heard squat from that side. This is Dunbar's side basically being butthurt that the Redskins aren't giving him what he wants right now, so he wants out.
But you know what, though? I like the silence from the Redskins, because that means they're just concentrating on football matters. We're not. Sure. It's just like Mike Rizzo. You know what we love about Mike Rizzo? Mike Rizzo is as stealth a negotiator as there is out there. The guy never plays his cards visibly out there for other people to see. And the Redskins are doing the same thing here. Perhaps there's professionalism at, you know, a much higher level of the organization now with Ron Rivera, with Kyle Smith, how they're interacting with each other, how they take the message to eventually for Dan Snyder to sign off on football ventures here. So perhaps the silence is, A, deafening, certainly to Quentin Dunbar, because he wants somebody to pick up the phone, say, hey, I'm Quentin, I'm right here. I just want to know where I'm going to be this year. Or, you know, maybe they don't think the player, maybe they haven't evaluated the player in full yet.
Yeah,
we don't have anything to tell you, Quentin.
We don't know yet. And talking about us, we don't know. The Redskins may or may not know. We have no idea. We don't know if Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio and, you know, their new secondary coach, whomever it happens to be, I actually don't know the name off the top of my head, have sat down and gone yes or no. I don't know what pile they put him in. I have no clue. I have no clue what they're thinking, and I'm with you that I think that's good. To me, this went from I generally want to side with players when it comes to, listen, dude, I signed a deal. Nobody put a gun to my head, but I signed a deal, and now I've outperformed that deal. I'd like something going forward. That is reasonable in a sport with so much injury. He's been injured a ton himself, and he's productive. He deserves more than he's going to get this year. Now, again, it ain't the Redskins' fault that he signed that deal, okay? Just like it wasn't their fault that they figured out, hey, why don't you get out of the receiver meetings and go down the hall and talk to the cornerbacks?
Yeah.
You saved your career.
So, I mean, the organization has given him an opportunity for a career in the first place. He could be still running around to camps trying to be a wide receiver and obviously failing miserably because at the time he was doing it, if you couldn't make this club as a receiver, then you weren't very good.
He'd be playing for the damn Tampa Bay Vipers at this point, running routes, if it wasn't for the Redskins sending him down the hall.
Help.
Okay. So, and again, no, this is what happens. It's transactional. It's what happens in the NFL. My point is, I will side with you if you go, hey, I'd like a new deal. Yeah, I would too. I'd like you to be here. When you go, I'm butt hurt because I didn't get a call back, or they're not taking care of me fast enough, get me out of here. You lost me as an ally. I want to be on your side. This, if this is true, according to Josina Anderson again, saying basically the Quentin Dunbar, the Redskins rebuffed his request for a contract extension. He wants to be traded or released. You no longer have an ally in me. Now, you probably don't care about that. You're conducting your business. Just now, I'm not an advocate for you. Now, I want to trade you. I want you gone. I can't have that. I can't have temper tantrums. I can't have me over we.
Well, this is obviously his way of sending out the bat signal to the rest of the league. Hey, somebody call the Redskins and trade for me. This is a desperate attempt by the player or his agent. Now, look, this could be all being fed by his agent, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, the agent bears some responsibility.
Absolutely.
Here because a good agent will say, dude, look, they just changed regimes. Let's chill over here for a few minutes. They're going to come back to us at some point and say, hey, we're going to do something. But right now, either Quentin or the agent are really acting, in my mind, in a poor manner at this point.
800-636-1067. Your reaction. Quentin Dunbar apparently demanding to be released or trade. We'll do that. We'll also get into some Trent Williams, some Ron Rivera, and some Dan Snyder, and how they all fit together. We'll do that at 12:32 next on The Fan. I'm going to make sure my phones are working. Bruce Allen told us that there's phones in Hawaii. I'm going to make sure my phone system is fully armed and operational in Ashburn. And I'm going to have our made-up secretary Thom for the draft is Phyllis, right? I'm going to have Phyllis. Cheryl, excuse me. I don't know. Who the hell's Phyllis? Did I make up Phyllis? Thom and I do a bit every year where he submits mock drafts, and I tell Cheryl, who's my secretary, to like either give Thom a gift basket or tell him that he's fired based on the mock drafts. It's a fun thing that we do every year. Whoever Cheryl is going to have her little fingers working to dial out. I'm calling 31 other teams. What do you give me for Quentin Dunbar? And I'm going to figure out the marketplace. He's gone today. For me. Seriously, I don't know why I'm this pissed off about it, but I am, Pete. I like Dunbar. Good player. Not a great player. Good player. Starter on a decent defense. Good story. Something about this really rubs me the wrong way. When you go from, hey, I want to get a contract done, to get me out of here, I don't need that. I can't have that be a precedent. I can't give in to guys like that. Then you pretty much have an entire roster of players that are saying, give me mine.
We talk about all the time in culture and even in real life, in your workplace, you know, wherever, your neighborhood, a lack of self-awareness. And I think that's what Quentin Dunbar and his agent are suffering from here. Because I don't want to just pin it on the player. I mean, I believe the agent is behind this being aggressive and trying to get, like, the agent, of course, is telling, we can get more money. We can get more money somewhere else, or we can push for a trade because you've been a great player for them. You've been a great player for them. That's what the agent's job is. However, as a player, you have to be smart enough to know when your agent is selling you a bill of goods and tell your agent, whoa, hold on here, Hoss. You're going to get us in a little bit of trouble, in my mind, if we keep going down this road. Now, this is the second time that this has come out in this situation. And at some point now, somebody on the Redskins side, whether it's Ron Rivera, Kyle Smith, whoever, somebody's going to say, look, we don't need this dude out here doing this. This is the guy kind of sitting outside the locked door, jumping up and down. Hey, I'm out here. Hey, I'm out here. Let me in. Let me in. You know, trying to go to Sizzler. Hey, let me in. But look, somebody's giving him some bad advice or he has no self-awareness right now. And this is quite the – and I know the NFL's not loyal and stuff, but this is – quite a way to behave toward an organization that actually gave him a chance to have a career by offering him the position switch instead of just cutting him outright altogether.
Oft injured, he's missed a combined, 14 games over the last 2 years, mm-hmm. in and out of the lineup all the time. Again, it's a success story. On a binary, good or bad, it's good the Redskins found Quentin Dunbar and turned him into an NFL football player, as opposed to a guy that would have bounced around on the fringe from a practice squad to practice squad, making two or three active rosters. He turned himself from a wide receiver into a cornerback that can play in this league. Bully for you, bully for the Redskins. They don't get that many of those, and they got one. This is awesome, right? Something about this and the 48 hours previously of demand, trade, or release. Wait, no, I didn't. And then now we're reaffirming it after he's, you know, basically been told no by the Redskins. Again, we don't know if the Redskins are saying not right now or no never or this is our new policy. We don't know because the Redskins are doing the right thing here and not airing their business in public. He is trying to exercise his leverage. He doesn't have that much, to be honest with you. Now, I heard Craig Hoffman talk about this when the news broke during the Beltway Blitz, and we asked Hoff about it. And his point is, well, the Redskins are screwed at cornerback. Here's the deal. Without Quentin Dunbar, what's going to happen? Are they going to lose next year? Yep. With Quentin Dunbar, what's going to happen? They'll probably lose next year a whole bunch. They're not that screwed. They're in a building phase. And you know what I could get for Quentin Dunbar? Draft picks. Or one. Maybe a third rounder. Done. Next.
You think somebody will give you a third round for Quentin Dunbar?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe it's a fourth rounder. I don't know. Whatever it is. See ya. Thanks. Really appreciate the time. It's an affordable contract. You're going to have to pay him when you acquire him. It's not going to be a first rounder, a second rounder, right? But eye of the beholder. Maybe somebody sees the length. I mean, he looks like a Seattle corner. Yeah. He looks like they're up there, assembly line of guys, right?
205 is good size.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I just think we're hallucinating if somebody's going to offer you a third round pick for Quentin Dunbar.
Starting quarter in the league? Now, Grant, last year.
Somebody's got to start, Danny, for a team that's 3-13. Somebody has to start. Look at the dudes that were starting on this team at the end of last year.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody had to start. But, you know, I don't know, third round? Somebody offers you a third round, Kyle Smith should say, not even call Dan Snyder, just stamp it, done.
I'm not calling a third round. I'm saying somebody could. You a starting quarter in this league, you get a bidding war going for a guy that you get 1 year on the dirt cheap.
Well, and look, there will be multiple calls on the player.
Sure.
I don't think there's any question. Hopefully, you can drive the price up that high.
That's what I want.
You can tell a GM, hey, San Diego said they'll give us a fourth and a fifth next year. What are you going to give us?
So there's two schools of thoughts on this. Two schools of thought. One is you can't give in to the player and allow him to dictate to you stuff like this.
So the fascinating part of having a new organization here. Yeah. We're going to see right away how they're going to operate.
Right. The other part is, though, this is what he's asking for. So you're giving it to him? Is that the better way? There's no good way to handle it when somebody wants out, right? Because if you let them get out, then all you have to do is whine, you get out of here. The other side is you can't have that toxicity in your building, I don't think, right? You can't have – and listen, I sympathize with Quentin Dunbar's contract situation. I want to keep making sure I'm very clear on this. If I'm his camp, I keep pushing for an extension. And if I'm his camp, I go, don't you dare go to OTAs. The Reuben Foster rule, dude. Reuben Foster may not play football this coming year. We're hopeful that Reuben Foster plays. OTAs. Sean Lee, OTAs. Don't you dare go to OTAs. Let's use what leverage you have to work on a new deal. Fine with that. I support that. This is a different animal altogether. Let's go to Mike in Bethesda. He's got an interesting thought. Mike, Quentin Dunbar, your reaction. He's demanding a trade or a release from the Redskins.
Hey, guys. Great show. Danny, completely agree with your perspective. My reaction is I think Dunbar has, you know, very quickly assimilated himself to kind of the life of Club J. I mean, I know Rivera is kind of known for his somewhat militant approach from a culture perspective, but if he's not vibing with Ron up front, and we know that this is kind of the regime change that we're going to be leveraging moving forward, get the value, get out, move on, and call it a day. Can't set the precedent. 100% with you guys.
Mike, thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off there. This is not reported. This is me reading, Pete. The read I have is butt hurt because they didn't call me and they're not responding fast enough, right? There are certain guys. When you show up, let's say, I'm trying to think of a good example. If you were a new general manager going to Chicago in the 90s, who's your first call? You're talking about the Bulls. Michael Jordan.
Of course.
You'd probably reach out to MJ. Your second call. you'd probably reach out to Scottie Pippen. If Craig Hodges didn't get the third phone call and he pouted and demanded a trade, if Bill Cartwright didn't get a call, or I don't know, you could pick it. If B.J. Armstrong doesn't get a call.
B.J. Yeah, Armstrong.
Right? Or, I don't know, I mean, you could pick it. Randy Brown didn't get a phone call and he pouts about
that. Bill Wennington.
That's to me what this is, right? I'm sorry you're not a star. I'm sorry that Trent Williams, the perennial All-Pro, Ring of Fame, Hall of Fame caliber player for the Washington Redskins, is taking up more of their attention. I'm sorry that they're worried about what to do with Ryan Kerrigan. I'm sorry that the quarterback and you know what the hell they're going to do there with that spot is taking priority and precedence. I'm sorry you're lower on the totem pole that you think you are, but you are. Sorry. And he got butt hurt and demanded a trade because of it.
I mean, look, if you're the agent or you're Quentin, there are plenty of people that you can reach out to here. You know, I'm sure J.P. Finley and John Keim, Craig Hoffman, they're all awaiting your potential phone call. Hell, Chris Russell will drive to you. He'll meet you at the local Choke and Puke, and you can talk about it. But what's the motivation here? What's the reason why you are so butt hurt and so in a hurry to get some sort of resolution when the league year is still a month away?
Let's go to Joshua in Upper Marlboro. Sounds like he has a different perspective. Joshua, good afternoon, man. What's your thought on this?
Hey, Danny, and I'm usually on your side on these things, man, but I think we're being a little unfair to this guy.
Tell me why.
In every other part of the American economy, people try use whatever little leverage they have to renegotiate their current contracts if they have improved or done better. That's exactly what this guy is doing. He doesn't have a ton of leverage. One of the leverage points he has is to ask for a trade. He's just trying to get paid more money, and he has a ridiculously bad contract right now. We assume he's butthurt. It doesn't mean he's butthurt. Maybe he's just smart and trying to use what he has in front of him. And I think it would be absolutely absurd to get rid of our number one corner on the team for a fourth round pick. Like, that just, the math does not make any sense there whatsoever.
In general, I agree with you.
I just think that people do this all the time.
But Joshua, let me ask you this real quick.
We've got to acknowledge that.
No, the people use leverage, of course. Like, if I got another offer, I would say, hey, you know, Entercom, I got another offer. What are we going to do about this? That's totally normal, and I'm with you on that. The question I have, though, is you don't see a gap between using what leverage you have, a.k.a. sitting at OTAs, trying to, use, I guess, whatever kind of leverage to stay versus a demand to be let go? Isn't there a gap or am I crazy?
I would be a little bit more, I guess, critical of Dunbar if it was like a Trent Williams type contract. But his contract is so bad for a guy of his skill level that, hey, if I'm in his position, yeah. I mean, and you only got a few years to get up towards that $8, $9, $10 million, $11, $12 million
range.
And they're not going to get paid for the rest of their lives, right? So he's got to get as much as he can over the next 2 or 3 years as possible. So, yeah, I'm okay with him pulling out the big guns to try to get some more money. I'm also okay if they don't go for it, but this is a business. They're trying to – the Redskins are trying to make as much money as possible. He's trying to get as much value out of the little bit of time he has in the NFL as possible.
Hey, it's a great phone call, Joshua. Thanks for making it, man. I appreciate that. I like that different perspective. I feel that way up until you demand to get out of here, right? I'm with you. I think everything you said, I'm in lockstep with, until you make that demand because you didn't get your way the first week to let me go. But I think reasonable minds will disagree on this one, and you're going to see more of this. Carl Hagelin is going to join us at 12:45. His weekly spot right here on Grant and Danny. Pete Metters in for GP. We'll come back and talk to the Caps winger in the wake of a trade to shake up their defensive pairing. We'll do that at 12:48 on the Fan. That music. You're either having a wonderful night out with adult beverages, or it's 12:45 on a, what's today? Thursday. At Capital Sports, Carl Hagelin is joining the show. Pete is in for GP. This is Danny. Carl, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very, very well, my friend. Let's jump right into it. What do you know about your new teammate, man? Brian McCullen makes a move, adding to the defense. What do you know about the new Capital?
Well, I talked to Eric Carlson in San Jose a little bit about him as a person. Obviously, unreal guy, I heard. When it comes to, being a player, as a guy I played against in the playoffs, actually, a couple years back. He's a big body, good skater, plays an aggressive style, and, type of demon you like having on your team.
Carl, how long does it take to establish trust with a new guy, especially one that comes in the middle of the season? You know, the beginning of the year, you have a chance, if it happens in the offseason, to get used to him in training camp and things of that nature. But How long does it take to earn that trust with each other in the middle of the season like this when you get a new guy on the fly like this?
Well, it's usually pretty quick. You know, the new guys, you know, they come in and, the good thing now compared to the beginning of the year is that everyone is on the same page. Early on in the year, guys are trying to find their game or trying to find, you know, what to do with the system. Now, all that should be on point. So as a new guy to come in, it should be easier to adjust and, play within the team structure. And, you know, I think Brendan looks like a guy who's, he's a team guy, so it won't be a problem for him.
So you guys are now in second place in the division because Pittsburgh's been on fire. And you guys, you know, we've talked about, sort of the last month or so, you guys haven't found your game kind of, you know, just sort of borrowing from one of your phrases, Carl. It's not a big deal, right? You're a point behind Pittsburgh at this stage. How much do you guys care about winning a division versus just playing good hockey going forward?
Well, I think playing good hockey is what we need to get back to. Over the last 20 or so games, we've been a 500 team, and that's not the type of team we want to be. We need to get back to, winning more games. We can't win one and lose the next one. That's not the type of team we are. So, I think if we take care of, the way we need to play and, we get back to playing well, the points will come for sure.
Carl, to that extent, how far away right now do you feel you guys are from getting back to that level that you all had played at? For really two and a half months where you're just playing exceptional hockey night in and night out. Didn't matter whether you were home or on the road. You guys brought a tremendous level. How far away from that level do you think you guys are right now?
I don't think it's too far away, If, like you said, you go back 2.5 to 2 months and, not a whole lot has changed since then. You know, there's been maybe the mindset has changed a little bit and, which happens during the year. So we know we're capable of doing it. So we can't be too far away from it. And, we're getting close to the playoffs, and these games mean that much more. So, hopefully, that's a reminder to each and every player in our team to start playing better, especially defensively.
Carl Hagelin with us here on Grant and Danny's regular Thursday spot at 12:45. You guys puck drop against Montreal tonight, 7 p.m. What kind of challenges do they bring?
Well, I think they're a team with a lot of speed. They're obviously out of the playoffs right now, so we'll play against a very desperate team. And I think, it's always those games. They're pretty close against, Montreal. Ever since I've been here, it's always been close games. And, they have some players that can do stuff offensively. And obviously, Carey Price and Nett, it's going to be a battle.
Carl, a lot of veterans inside your room, obviously. Does that make it easier to make sure that there's no playing in panic as opposed to just going out each night and playing your game? A younger team may play with a little more panic and more desperation in this situation, but you guys have enough veteran leadership in there that is it easy to just go into the room and go out and play your game each and every night that way?
Absolutely. I think a lot of the guys on this team have been through, ups and downs throughout the career, and it's not going to be just a straight path, especially an 82-game season. You're going to have your bad games. But at the same time, as a veteran player and as a leader, you need to show up. These are the big games of the year. So you really have to, turn things around. And it starts with, us older guys and us leaders. So, I think if it was just a bunch of young guys on the team, there'd probably be more panic, yeah.
Carl, always love having you, buddy. Get it turned around tonight against Montreal. Big weekend coming up for you guys. We're pulling for you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, let's do it. Thanks, guys.
Always appreciate it. There goes Carl Hagelin. Love having Carl on. And Carl, presented by FH for Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical, home of 83 or it's free. FH for will clean any slow or clogged drain for just $83. If they can't, it's free. Details at fhfur.com. This could be a footnote. Right? It could just be, hey, remember the time the Caps weren't playing well from December through January, early into February? Remember that? Just like it was a footnote, Stanley Cup year. Remember they weren't playing well and they almost fired Barry Trotz? Ha, 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 ha. How funny is that? Or this could be, yeah, they never really recovered. Right? Because last year we kind of gave a pass. We know they didn't have the offseason. They didn't get to train in the same way. And they got bounced by Carolina, a team that was actually pretty good, it turned out. And they probably should have beaten Carolina, to be honest with you. But sort of ran out of steam. This could be the footnote, or it could be just the bump in the road. And we know about Davey Martinez's and bumpy roads and beautiful places. Which way do you think it's going to go?
I still think this team's got plenty, plenty of time to get things going in a positive direction. I think the move for Dylan addresses an immediate need right now. There's no question that Brian McClellan needed to make a move for Todd Reirden because the depth of the six playing on defense right now for this team, whether they're worn down or not or just not playing well, they had to do something to improve that portion of the team. And I don't think he's done yet. I think if they can make another deal makes sense where the compensation going to the other team's not outrageous, I think Brian McClellan's going to make another move because you look around him, there are a lot of teams playing fairly well, including that team in black and gold that, of course, is your arch nemesis.
The Houston Astros are everybody's nemesis. Nobody likes them. They're the villain. And I got a theory that I stole from Sam Porter. We'll do that next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.